coming up on Thunder Pop.
We're recording now, you know that.
Dog gotta sleep.
Who is this?
That's Yoda, dude.
Is it Yoda?
It's Yoda.
Telling us not to go to sleep?
Dog gotta sleep.
It's kind of a creepy Yoda.
I know, it's fucking creepy as fuck.
This, my friends, is the post Rogue One reaction show of Thunder Pop Podcast, episode number 26, In the Place, with myself, Stephen Presley, and Reed Charles.
G'day, cunts!
Now, why do you turn away when you say that?
Because I want to yell it, and I want to yell it to the mic.
Oh, okay.
It sounds like a real far away.
Oh.
G'day, cunts!
Yeah, it sounds like you run out of the room, and you're down the hallway, and then you yell it, and then you come back, and then you get on the mic. G'day, cunts! What is it? Good day, cunts?
Yeah, good day, cunts. Yeah.
Good day, cunts. So it's like, I want you to have a good day. But you're
a cunt.
But you're a cunt. And you do it kind of an accent. It sounds like the guy from Hogan's Hero.
He's from Australia.
Oh, okay. Did you ever used to watch Hogan's Hero?
Yeah, Hogan Hero.
I would think you would have liked Hogan's Heroes.
No, I used to watch it.
Yeah. It was a funny comedy back in the 70s.
I see nothing.
Yeah. You know that guy, the main guy that was the main U.S. Army?
He was murdered.
They made a movie about him. Autofocus.
What?
That guy was a super freak. So he became friends with like the cameraman for Hogan's Heroes, the guy that did the camera work. They became buddies. And so like when they were on vacation, they would go travel around the country and back then, you know, they didn't have like a smartphone or a cell phone to film their doing stuff. So they took like his film equipment. Like he was carrying and packing all this film equipment.
But he was doing like freaky shit with like people, like having sex.
The guy would film him doing freaky shit in hotels. They'd go around traveling around the country.
And that got him killed.
He got killed, yeah.
Yeah.
That's this crazy story. The guy, Greg Kinnear, played him in the movie.
And they What's that movie called?
Autofocus.
I gotta go
So it's about the guy from Hogan Hero.
Oh, Autofocus. Okay, I'm gonna look.
Yeah, it got a lot of acclaim too, awards and acclaim. And so the other guy was a super freak. Damn. He made R. Kelly look like Mr. Rogers.
Want a wee wee on you?
Yeah.
Want a pee on you?
You know what was hilarious is R. Kelly has a Christmas album this year.
Oh, you better wear a raincoat
because it's not Let It Snow with R. Kelly. It's let it pee, let me pee on you.
No thanks, I'll pass on that.
Get
the hell away from me.
This is supposed to be our Rogue One reaction show. It's episode number, I might have said 26, actually, episode number, 26.
26.5? 25.5?
Well, that's kind of like what Rogue One was.
3.5?
It was 3.5. It was episode 3.5.
God damn, the movie was good.
We're going to have also some people on to give us their reactions. Reed's going to break down his reaction. I'm going to break down mine. And you might even be surprised about some of the things I'll have to say about the movie. And then we're going to dial up
Negative
Johnny.
Thoughts?
Well, I don't know. I think I'm one with the Force. And
I'm one with the Force.
The Force is with me. The
Force
is with me. I'm one with the Force.
The Force is with me.
And by the way,
is that his line?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the way, this will not be spoiler free. This will be spoiler
in your face.
In your face. So if you have not seen it, go see it. Don't be an asshole. Go see it. And then get back to us and we'll listen to the podcast. but if you don't want spoiled on your face, then get out of here and go see the movie right now. Damn it. And this is a few days before Christmas, so this is our last show before Christmas, and we're going to do the theme song. We'll be right back.
Thunder Pop. It's time for Thunder Pop. Don't make me say it again. Thunder Pop. Thunder Pop. Thunder Pop. I will not say it again. Thunder Pop.
Okay, I lied.
Yeah. And we're back. And now we are joined by Johnny Lightfoot as well. Reed Charles. Myself, Stephen Presley. And this is our reaction show. Johnny, I believe, has already seen it twice. Is that correct?
Yep.
Damn, twice already?
I've got one guy that may have beat David Smith. I think was going to see it for his third time tonight. Shit. And he was going to get out at 8 o'clock. So he may have just finished his third viewing. So now, wow. Starting with Johnny, I want to ask you, after seeing the movie, before we kind of even before we get into your opinion of the movie, the for good or better or worse, Easter eggs that you saw in the Rogue One movie.
Oh goodness!
That you were not that Easter eggs that were not necessarily forecast ahead of time. But give me maybe three that you saw.
Gosh, it's crazy because I think between myself and Reed, I think we forecast so many different things that we ended up seeing. But I would say medical freighters, Darth Vader's castle, which is the old EU comics, which we've never seen that stuff in live action. It's only been in like the comics. So like his castle, you never see that before. And
that's right.
Now the castle,
that was something really cool.
Was that when he was the castle? Where do we see that? That was when he was coming and he was in was out of his armor.
Yeah. He was in a Bacta tank.
Yeah.
Now is this castle on, what was that lava planet where he got,
Mustafar.
That's not a Mustafar. Was that a Mustafar?
I think it did. I can't remember.
Yeah,
but I believe it is because he wanted to keep it as a constant like reminder.
So his castle was in Mustafar. I think I was so excited. Maybe I did read that at the very beginning. I got to watch it again.
I'm definitely gonna have to see it again because I missed the fact that they were at Darth Vader's castle.
No, I knew that.
You did catch that
because that's the thing that I wanted to bring up too was that they borrowed quite a bit from the EU.
They did. More than Force Awakens, I think.
More than they want to admit.
Uh-huh.
I think.
Yeah,
I think.
And then, I mean, we kind of forecasted being there as much as he was.
Yeah, you pretty much guessed he was going to be pretty principal character.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, I thought he would be pivotal to the story, but I really didn't think they were going to give him as much screen time as they did.
Yeah, and I started reading mild spoiler reviews like about a day before, because I had to wait till Sunday to go see it just because of logistics with work, and then also we've had a dog that's been kind of under the weather, so I've been home taking care of him, so we didn't buy the advance tickets for Thursday or Friday night, so finally I made it Sunday, could not wait, almost peed my pants trying to get it into, make sure I get a good seat and get in the theater. And finally, I get there, but I started. It's like when you have to wait two extra days to open your Christmas presents, you start wanting to take a peek at them. So I started looking at a few reviews, but I went to the reviews that were very mild spoilers. But then I started figuring out that the Tarkin was going to be pretty pivotal.
Yeah, I didn't think he would be that pivotal. The same thing. I didn't think he would be that big.
I didn't think he would be in it as much, but I felt like he'd be pivotal simply based off of the stuff I had heard based on the reviews and stuff off of the Catalyst book, where it talked a lot about how Krennic was, ambitious, trying to go for Tarkin. Tarkin doesn't really like him, so I figured he'd play some role in that.
Yeah. So we got that, Darth Vader's castle. What would be another Easter egg that sort of jumped out at you that you're like, "Ooh, this is something I wasn't expecting."
Buttface and
yes,
the guy who's
yes,
who's got a death sentence on 12 in 12 systems.
Yeah, yeah.
The fact that those pairs showed up.
That was mine.
Yeah, you got that one too. Mm-hmm. Reed, what do you think? Did you have an Easter egg outside of that you weren't expecting?
Well, two, I think, yeah, the Buttface and Snaggletooth, the one with the, one on 12 systems, that was a surprise to me. Yeah. The other one was the pilots on the bombing run.
Oh, yes!
That really shocked me. I was like, holy shit, they used it from, it's like, that was really cool. But that was the only two Easter eggs that I remember right now, watching only once. I gotta watch it more. Yeah.
So I read an article that Gareth Edwards was taking a tour at Lucas Ranch. And do you know the story about how he came up with putting the pilots from A New Hope in there, Johnny?
No, but I did. After I saw that, I went and did some research because I was like, wait, they look identical to the old ones. They actually used some of the old stock footage.
Yes.
Did they?
Yes, from A New Hope. Well,
but was it exactly from New Hope, or was it a little bit different? Because I thought, yeah, I was hoping they wouldn't use the Star Trek. They used the Bird of Prey exploding,
mm-hmm.
that one they use over and over again. I was hoping it wasn't that. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, like recycled.
The recycled old footage.
Yeah. Well, it was altered and changed.
Yeah.
They definitely did some sophisticated editing.
But they used the original stock footage, but then just, I guess, like remastered it. Mm-hmm.
Which he figured out and found, sort of stumbled on that when he was taking a tour at Lucas Ranch. He went to Lucas Ranch, he got a tour, he got to go see the replica of the Millennium Falcon, and then they took him in this room, and there was stacks of film reels, and he's like, what's this? And they were like, oh, that's Star Wars. And then kind of went from there, he started looking at that footage, and he figured out that he could use that.
Man, can you imagine that? Oh my God, walking into the archives?
Yeah.
Jeez. Well, yeah, and then another Easter egg, so outside of like Red Leader, Gold Leader, Blue Leader, the only other pilot call reference is Red 5.
Yeah, yeah.
who blows up, and then that ends up becoming Luke.
Yes, exactly. I was like, oh, that's where he got Red 5 from. Okay.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Because he died. Well, okay, that's the one thing I want to talk about. Why I couldn't, the only part I didn't like or didn't understand, yeah, I didn't understand more, is that why was Princess Leia there at the battle? That part I didn't get. Because if Princess Leia is there on the blockade runner, the Corvette blockade runner, that means that 3PO and R2 are on that same ship. And when they took off, and he says, how come they don't tell us about these things? When they took off,
they were just in the hangar bay.
That means they had to be on that ship. That part, I think, is a little, I didn't get that part. And then the main thing is, why was Princess Leia there? I know she's a badass later on as a general, but I didn't see her significance being there at the battle. I thought that was too risky of to have that high of a profile person in a battle like that.
What do you think, Johnny? Is there a better explanation for her being at that point, being there?
I mean, I unless she did it against like her father's wills, because even he wasn't there. He stayed on Yavin 4.
Yeah.
And because then that's when you get the Obi-Wan reference.
Yes.
Which was another nice Easter egg.
And then also, what was the line that he had as he was leaving? He was departing?
I'm going back to Alderaan.
he said he was going back to Alderaan, but then he also mentioned when Mon Mothma said, like, can you trust who you're going to get these plans to? And he says, well, I trust her with my life, obviously referring to Leia.
Yeah.
His daughter, or his adopted daughter.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, he put her... So she's there as in his position, basically.
I think that
you could... You think that's the reason why...
That could possibly explain it, why she's there.
Yeah.
Is that she's kind of his eyes and ears, like, out in the Force.
Hmm.
Whereas he's just like kind of the council, and then behind the scenes in the Senate.
Oh, she does all the secretly she does all the covert stuff, posing as an ambassador, that kind of stuff, and getting messages across.
Right.
There you go.
And it's kind of like why in A New Hope she, you know, her whole excuse to Vader is Tarkin is, you know, I'm here on a ambassador for the Senate. Basically saying, you know, I'm just doing stuff for my dad.
And see, when he saw the Corvette take off, he knew exactly what ship it was that took off. And then when he caught it, that was his Death Star that caught her.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, he doesn't know. I know where you went. I know where you're going. And you have the plans aboard. Yeah, that's when he catches it.
Exactly. I know what you have because literally Vader saw the physical handoff. Of the plan, he saw the physical handoff of the plans to that ship flying off.
Shit, that was awesome. Remember you were saying about the director holding back on Vader's last scene there? Holy crap.
Right, that was the scene that was reshot, so it makes me wonder...
What happened?
What was in the original version?
Okay, I think I saw him slice somebody in half at that last moment. At the very, very end.
Oh, yeah.
He
killed at least a dozen people. I mean, I was saying five people he was going to kill.
No, he killed a lot more. Okay, now check this out, Johnny. That happened there. That's an example of what he could do. Now, in Star Wars Marvel, the new one that came out, right, takes mm-hmm. place after New Hope.
Mm-hmm.
And Vader down, he does the same thing, but he takes on an entire company.
Yeah.
About 200 troops and B-Wings and X-Wings. And he fucks them all up.
Is this the first time that we, and really, maybe the first time on cinema that we've actually gotten a little dose of some Darth Vader really doing what he's capable of doing?
Yeah, because you see him in Star Wars.
On a grander scale.
Yeah, because in Star Wars, he's slow. Empire's a little faster, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he's still in his youth. Now, again, remember like we were saying last time.
Yeah.
He is at the peak performance. And this is like, he's like the peak right now.
At Rogue One.
Yeah. So he just got done slaughtering fucking Jedi for like last 20 years. Because
by the time Return of the Jedi comes around, he's starting to have some doubt. He's starting to feel his son and his daughter.
Yeah.
He's starting to have his doubts. He's kind of waffling a little bit. But in this movie, he's gotten past some of his apprenticeship.
Yeah, man.
And now he's really, this is where he's hitting the peak of being the Darth Vader.
Oh, well, yeah, because in his head, basically from the time Revenge of the Sith ends... In his mind, he has no attachments. He's basically, it's him, and he just hates everything. He has absolutely no. He has absolutely no attachments. He has nothing he cares about except for destroying the Jedi because he feels like they're the reason he has nobody in his life that's living anymore.
Yeah. He's like, fuck those Jedis and everything they care for.
Yeah, I was extremely impressed. When the first description of the movie was put out, it was said that it was going to be a Saving Private Ryan in space. And it definitely, it was, but Saving Private Ryan, the very beginning, the first 10 minutes, is still more gruesome than what we saw in Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. It didn't have the gruesomeness of it.
No, but it's still good. Yes,
there were times where you definitely felt like, okay, this is a war movie, like with a kid where Jyn Erso goes and saves the kid and then brings her back to the mom. That felt like a lot like Saving Private Ryan kind of footage and scenes.
Yeah.
But in a Star Wars setting.
Yeah, when Krennic looks over and sees the Death Star coming over the horizon and is pointing right at him, it's like, oh, shit.
Oh, yeah.
Pew!
Yeah. Because he knew at that point that Tarkin pretty much has deduced that it's because of his faith in Galen Erso. He's basically deduced, well, it's your fault because... You thought this guy was on our side, and he's the leak. He's the mole.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's your fault. And so, you know what? We're just going to take all of it out.
Damn.
Mm. All right, Johnny. So what do you think overall of the movie now? Finally, the suspense is killing me. I talked to Reed beforehand, and I know definitely how he feels. How many Thunderbolts do you give Rogue One, A Star Wars Story?
Gosh, it's tough. I'll say it's better on a second watch.
No peer pressure here. You shoot from the hip.
Han Solo.
Yeah, exactly, like Han Solo.
I would say 7.5, 8 maybe. It's mostly due to the first two acts. I think they move a little bit slow.
Yeah.
I think some of the dialogue is a little bit wonky at times.
Yeah.
I really liked the choke moment with Vader where he choked out Krennic at his castle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But good. Then they almost ruined that moment with the line they had Vader say afterwards. Where he said, be careful not to choke out your ambitions or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it kind of took me out of the scene. The Tarkin face capture kind of took me out of it every now and then. Mm-hmm. As the movie went on, I got used to it.
Mm-hmm.
But early on, it, it definitely, and like I said, on a second viewing, I just kind of ignored it, but early on, anytime his face was on screen, I was kind of like, man, that's really CG.
Yeah.
So that kind of distracted you a little bit.
Yeah, it distracted me from the scene, and I thought that the voice was good. The
voice was very good. I'm sure it took three different...
The very first scene where they come up on him, where it's his reflection in the window, I thought was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But then he turned around and started talking, and it kind of like threw me off for a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, same reaction. Yeah, same with me.
Now, Reed.
Yes?
He was very... He called me Saturday. He was very excited. How many Thunderbolts do you give it? No, you don't. No peer pressure. If you loved it, if you thought it was,
I don't know. I don't know how many Thunderbolts I give Empire Strikes Back, but I'll tell you right now, I in my feeling, this movie is better than Empire Strikes Back.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Oh,
Empire,
man.
Empire Strikes Back just got replaced by Rogue One.
Well, there are some people I've read different threads online. I've read some different reviews online, and I've seen some that were like Reed's, and then I've seen some that were that were different. But here's the deal. I'm a little bit leaning more towards the Johnny's review. Mm-hmm. I would say, you know, for me, Empire Strikes Back, and if that's what you're gauging, like the top tier,
it's a definite
top tier of movies.
It's real close.
And I've always bounced Empire Strikes Back between a 9 or 10.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Okay, yeah.
It's a pretty
Empire is an 8. Definitely.
It's a pretty perfect experience as far as the movie goes.
Yeah.
And then I drop down after that, and I go Return of the Jedi is closer to closer to 8, and I give Force Awakens about a 8.5.
Really,
above Return of the Jedi and above A New Hope.
No, I don't like.
I do as well. Yeah.
And here's the thing: if Force Awakens is at an 8, I have to put Rogue One closer to 6.5.
You didn't like it that well?
I enjoyed it. I found it very entertaining. Mm-hmm. I thought that it could have lost about 10 minutes of footage.
Mm-hmm.
That it dragged a little bit in certain areas. I thought that I liked the version of Jyn Erso we saw in the trailers more than I saw in the film. Mm-hmm. I know they cut out some stuff. A lot of stuff that we saw in the trailers didn't make it into the final cut. Course, I wasn't.
I rebel.
Yeah, and that course.
Yeah, people, what happened? Yeah.
And some people said that was cheesy, but I actually thought the sort of that sassiness and kind of that back and forth that she had with some of the characters that were trying to, coerce her, I guess you could say, or recruit her into what they were needing her to do for the mission. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more of a tug of war there.
Yeah, a little
than
more
there, than there was. I just felt like things kind of moved a little bit too fast in that area. Mm-hmm. I would have liked to seen her kind of play them a little bit more in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Than
what's in it for me?
Yeah. But what I liked about the movie, I loved about the movie. I loved the Darth Vader scenes.
Yeah, me too. I wanted more, but yeah.
Yeah, and I actually liked the Tarkin more than I think Johnny did. I was a little bit more wowed about the visuals of that, but I do see where if you look at that enough, you can get kind of distracted by that. But I liked that I thought it was pretty amazing how they made Tarkin come to life. And I know that was sort of something that people were kind of split on overall. I thought that visually it was a stunning movie. And I thought they created I would have liked to see, I think they played it very, I thought it was a little, in some areas it was a little bland. I would have liked to have seen them kind of go for it a little bit more in certain areas. But then I know some people thought that they needed to be darker. It wasn't dark enough. So it's amazing how people can be split on that.
Wow.
But, I'm close to a 7 on it. I might go see it the second time, and I might be closer to the 7. Mm-hmm. And a 7 is still a pretty damn good movie. Mm-hmm. And really, I don't know how many more 7s you're going to get during this holiday season. You may not get any more at all.
Well, I think that, compared to, if we're just comparing only for Star Wars movies,
yeah,
it's definitely either right in front of Empire, but tied with it. But definitely, I still like it better than all the other movies I've seen. And I think the reason why, with one, George Lucas had nothing to do with it. That's one. Mm-hmm. That's where it's a plus.
And that's obvious.
The director, director had almost complete control of what he wanted to do with it, except for the part, the Darth Vader part.
Yeah.
I think that would have definitely made it an 8.
There were a few tweaks here and there. Yeah.
But I think definitely I think it was way better than Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
Um, I think what probably people are maybe that they don't like about it is that they're all dead. Everyone died.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that might be a problem.
I think that was absolutely necessary.
Oh, it had to be done.
It had to be done. We talked about that beforehand.
I mean, Reed called that because I guess going into that last act, like Cassian got shot, and I figured at that point, okay, the only one who can make it out is Jin. And at this point, I feel like she's going to quit. And then
I didn't want to be right, man.
And where the
I didn't want to be
where
right.
the Death Star when the Death Star showed up, I was like, "Oh man, no, they're all gone." But then in a way though, she kind of I felt like her and Cassian did kind of give up.
Like, but there's no like, way. Okay, there's no way to escape. Yeah, there's no way to escape. There's no way to escape that blast.
Well, I mean, there's so many ships around there, though. You couldn't find one ship.
Yeah. Mm. So why do you think that was a little bit kind of weird that they gave
up?
I
feel like both of them felt like, I'm tired. I'm like, we did this together. We did a good thing. Let's end it. Because I will say, out of all the character development, because that was another thing I had a little bit of an issue with, they didn't really do a whole lot, which I understand because there's a lot of characters involved. But Cassian Andor's character from the get-go, I mean, you see him shoot a comrade in the back just so he can get away. And then he takes on a secret mission to kill Jin's dad. So it's the first time you see the rebellion is not squeaky clean. They're not 100% good guys. They'll do bad things to get the job done.
See, and there's that shades of gray that I was talking about.
Yeah, you were hitting that right on the nose in the last podcast.
I like that a lot.
No, and I think that brought some realism to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we've never seen that from the rebellion. They've always been portrayed as just these heroic fighters who are for all of the good and everything. Mm-hmm. And I feel like by the time the end came, because he had that confrontation with Jin on the spaceship where he says, like, there are a lot of things I've done I'm not proud of doing.
Mm-hmm.
But at least when everything was taken from me, I actually did something about it. Like, he was basically calling her out and saying, at least I went and found a cause when everything got taken from
me.
You can tell he regrets a lot of those things, though.
Yeah.
So by the time the end of the movie comes, it's like he's come to terms with, I finally did something for the rebellion that was worth it. I just did this feat that is pure and good, and let me go out on that. Like, I'm cool with dying knowing that my last mission, I did something amazing that will help billions of people across the galaxy.
That's the reason why I like this movie better than One Empire, because it was real, because there was the shades of gray, him admitting those things, and Empire was black and white, boring, and so this one actually had some darker shit like the shades of gray. That's the reason why this one to me was the most probable. Because there are a lot of things that our government does that are bad and ugly, but they have to be done sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I like. That's why that's the main heart of the reason why I like this one.
Well, it's definitely been the most grown up Star Wars movie we've gotten thus far. It has to be, correct, Johnny?
Yeah, and Saw Gerrera, Forrest Whitaker's character, like the things he does, like that's some Star Wars waterboarding.
That's like
Oh, the lizard thing, like, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not a good man.
No.
And Saul was gone pretty quick. Were you disappointed? Did you want to see more Saul?
I did, because the one scene we didn't get was the one from the trailers where he says, like, what will you become when they find you?
Yeah.
What will you become?
Which is a great line.
That whole thing.
Yeah, I know, man.
And in the scene he says that, he's got the bald head, which means he says that to young Jin.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't catch that. Good call.
And then he had that kind of messed up hair later.
And then, but she mentions to him, she's angry at him because he basically just gave her a blaster and a knife and abandoned her. And he says he did it because he didn't want her to fight. And he was doing it to protect her on behalf of her father. And so I wanted to see that. And I'm wondering if there was a scene filmed with like a teenage Jen Erso, a 16-year-old, where he's basically telling her, I don't want you to fight. I don't want to see what you'll become if you fight. I don't want to see what could happen to you. If her dad was a good friend of his, and he obviously vowed to protect her. And the best way he knew how to do that was to abandon her and take his fight on alone.
You get the feeling that now, outside of Emperor the Palpatine, Darth Vader, outside of those two, that Sal is probably the scariest motherfucker in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, he had a pretty...
That's one guy I would not fuck with.
Yeah.
He's like Star Wars Immortan Joe.
Yeah. He had his little crew, badass little crew, too. Yeah,
kind of Road Warrior doing mm-hmm. Star Wars there.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
Yeah, had a little Road Warrior feel. Do you think that if had... Sam Jackson not already played Mace Windu in a previous Star Wars movie that he may have ended up getting that casting?
Nah.
No?
You think I think Forrest Whitaker had more gravitas. I think Sam Jackson would have been more energetic, but Forrest Whitaker had more gravitas. Maybe a younger Morgan Freeman,
yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, that could have been. So we got something for you. We talked about this. We kind of came up with this before we started recording. I want to see what Johnny thinks, and I can open this up for everybody to kind of talk about. So Felicity Jones, played Jen Erso, apparently signed for two Star Wars movies. There's an option to do a second one. I guess you can call it an option. It's not was not set in stone.
A second film.
Okay. Of course, we know that would not happen after, in the timeline, after Rogue One, because for obvious reasons.
Because she's dead.
So then we thought, okay, there's going to be maybe a prequel to Rogue One, where they go back, because there's this interesting, we didn't get to see enough of Sal. A lot of people that I talked to today said they would have liked to see more Sal and more of his backstory. So you would think that we would get to see more of the Jen Erso and Sal's history together. But then Reed brought up the most interesting scenario. He said, could it be for the Han Solo movie?
Huh. I mean, that'd be interesting. But I would think, I don't think Felicity Jones would do a secondary role in a Han Solo movie.
Would it be a secondary role?
Yeah, I think it would be a secondary role in a Han Solo movie. Like, I don't think... Well, no. I mean, it could be the reason she's in jail when we first meet adult Jen.
Oh, because I don't think
she does something with Han Solo, does a job, and then Han Solo kind of lets her take the fall.
That could be interesting. Well, and you would think the two of them have some things in common, so it wouldn't seem too far-fetched that they had crossed paths at some point.
She's kind of like a female Han Solo.
She really is.
She wears a vest.
Yeah, she wears a vest.
She wears the vest.
So, because I don't think that any of the characters from Rogue One, all the ones that passed away, I don't think that anyone would justify a prequel to this. That's not going to be the issue. I think it'd be more of the Ben Kenobi movie, maybe, or the Han Solo movie, or the Boba Fett movie. Mm-hmm. I think they would have maybe some characters in there.
And it's not unusual for Marvel does it. They're going to have Robert Downey Jr. in the new Spider-Man.
Yeah, exactly.
Playing Tony Stark.
Right.
And
I think that's how they would fill it in.
That's a supporting role, but it's very important to the movie. He's probably going to be the mm-hmm. second most important character in that movie, that Spider-Man Homecoming. So it could be something Star Wars doing, kind of their own version of that, where there's some crossover.
Cool stuff.
Maybe not, if not the Han Solo movie, maybe something more along the lines of the Obi-Wan movie could be possible. But yeah, definitely, I agree with you, though, that I don't think she would want to do a small cameo. I think it would have to be a pretty chunky role.
In one of the, what did y'all, I was going to ask, what did y'all think of K2SO and Alan Tudyk playing the voice?
I really liked him. I liked his chemistry with Felicity Jones. I thought he was underused. That was my only nitpick with that. I would have liked to see
him. He was the one light spot in the movie.
Yeah.
The white spot?
Because you didn't really get much humor outside of him.
No, that's right. And I think, and now this has been the second Star Wars movie in a row where all the main characters, and this is unique for Star Wars with the exception of Chewbacca, but I'm talking about new characters being introduced, and Mace and not and Maz Kanata being sort of a small character that's only in a few scenes, where all the main leads are humanoids. Like there's no like, you know, alien characters. Like
you mean
human.
Human, not all alien.
No alien. There's everyone's human, and there's no alien.
Racist.
And I think that would have made Rogue One to me a little bit more interesting, is if they had found a way to put in another. You know, is it possible that they're so scared because of the Jar Jar Binks debacle and the prequels that they're afraid to create a new alien character?
Even Warwick Davis's character was only in, you know, a handful of scenes.
Yeah.
The little alien, and then the space monkey on the Tourette gun was only in a couple scenes.
I mean, you really?
I didn't realize when they were talking about space monkey, that's what they were talking about. I couldn't stop laughing when I read, because you hear him screaming in the background.
I mean, there were plenty of background characters of alien background characters, and they're, you know, they had to making cameos. But I mean, the last Star Trek movie was Star Trek Beyond.
Yeah,
they had a great principal character that was an alien.
Oh yeah, Sophia Boutella, the one playing the mummy.
Yeah, and it shows you that you can still create some great alien characters and make them, you know, key to the principal role. Yeah. So I just don't know. I hope that changes, because for me that's the only thing I felt. One of the things I felt when I say bland in some areas, that's what I mean. I would have liked to have seen another alien, like one of the main Rogue One squadron.
That one of them would be an alien.
Yeah.
I will say the Mon Calamari, captain of the ship.
Oh, they call him
I really liked him too.
They called him the Winston Churchill.
Oh,
that's what they're calling
him. They actually modeled him as they as opposed to doing a traditional Mon Calamari face, they actually made it to where he looked kind of like as if Winston Churchill was a Mon Calamari.
I love when they come up with stuff like that. Real clever.
There you go.
Clever
using things. Real stuff from World War II, like always, and they bring.
Oh,
in.
There's a lot of other World War II movies you could probably find that you can see a lot of like similarities and things they borrowed from. Mm-hmm. In this movie, more probably in this movie than
The space monkey shooting the gun.
Yes.
Right there.
Yeah. It was back.
Space monkey.
You know, I had to say, I had just done a late night gig. I was tired. I got up and I had only slept for a few hours, and I went straight to the movie. And I may have been, I was tired. So I do need to go back and see it again more of a full rest.
I want to see it again too.
And I'm sure maybe I could definitely up it to a solid 7 and get out of that 6 area. I might even go 7.5 after I see the Darth Vader again.
You know, but remember like last time we were thinking about The Force Awakens. I was so much in shock that I was watching a Star Wars movie again after like, what, 20-some years?
Yeah.
That it took a while to realize, wait a minute, this movie sucks. You know what I'm saying? Like,
No. I saw it again. I thought it was a very fun movie to watch.
But I think Rogue One is better than that one. Well, I just can't. You know.
I do think that there's chocolate, there's dark chocolate, there's semi-sweet chocolate. I think this movie is a more bitter chocolate.
Like a German chocolate?
And I think some people want their chocolate more bitter, and some people want their chocolate they want their Star Wars with a little more sugar in it, and some people want, you know, less sugar. They want it black. They want their coffee black. And I think that how great and how lucky we are in 2016 that
we had two Star Wars movies,
That we get it both ways. We get our coffee black when we want our coffee black, and that's Rogue One. And when we want our coffee with sugar, we get the episode.
Oh, yeah. Like, this was definitely, you know, you got your 60% cacao, you know, bitter dark chocolate. And then last year, we got our Hershey's milk chocolate with M&Ms and almonds and all of the sprinkles and everything. Now, it's a great time that we live in. And I always tell my brother, like, he's so lucky that my nephew lives, you know, as a child right now, because it's like the best time to be a kid.
And me, Reed, we're lucky that we live as children right now.
We're adult children.
In our
my comic books and everything.
Oh, yeah. As I sit here staring at a display case full of action figures and replica lightsabers.
awesome.
So cool. So fucking cool. So fucking man.
Cool.
Yeah. High fives. It, high fives. No, seriously though, I think this movie, I will say, is groundbreaking. Yeah. It broke a lot of ground that has not been broken in Star Wars films. And for that, I definitely give him, you know, one fuck yeah. I mean, yeah. for the efforts and how groundbreaking the movie was, because it took us to new paths. And sometimes you take shots. Some things are going to work, you know, some things aren't going to work, but you take those shots and it breaks new ground, and then hell, it's going to make the next movie even better for it.
No, I will say, like, when I said about, like, the first two acts being a little bit slow,
yeah,
and then Reed predicted everybody's going to die. Yeah. But
he was right when he called that right on the nose.
I didn't want to be right, man.
But in the third act, once the action really got going, mm-hmm. and it started off with K2SO, which... that one kind of hurt me a little bit.
Oh,
just the way he went out was very much like Terminator from Terminator 2.
Yeah.
Oh, like, are we talking about tears? Are we talking about tears? Oh boy.
We're talking about like when John Connor didn't want the Terminator to die.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like when you're seeing like Cassian out there and he's like calling out to K2, like K2, K2. And then K2's just like holding off all these legions of stormtroopers, and he's just getting shot up to pieces. And I was like, oh, God.
Yeah.
That was where it started. And then all of a sudden it seemed like a character.
That's where it started.
It was like from that point on, a character, like one of the Rogue One like crew died like within every 5 minutes.
Oh.
And they all went out in like some kind of like glorious fashion where you're like, yeah. Like generally, even in war movies, you typically only have like one or two characters who like they have their moment where like they do something amazing simply to like help everybody else. And then they end up dying in the process. And then in this, you had like K2SO. He was dying, holding off everybody so Jin and Cassian could get the plans. And then, like, right after that, Bodhi, who was a defector, so I didn't know he was an Empire defector. I did say there would be a traitor, but I didn't know it would be an Empire to Rebellion traitor. So then he dies setting up the antenna. And then right after him, the blind dude,
oh.
like, goes out there. He goes out there, like, trusting the force.
God damn it. Dude,
force.
I teared up, man. I held him back, but I teared up for that one.
And Donnie Yee, for me, was the movie. Like, he was the highlight of the highlight.
He was my favorite character, man.
Favorite character, hands
and, like,
down.
Him and Baze, like, you really felt like those two guys were, like, best friends.
Like brothers, man.
Yeah.
God damn it, that sucked.
Like, so he goes, he's walking past all those death troopers blind, and then he finishes doing what he was trying to do. And then immediately dies.
Ugh.
And it was like, was, God, are you kidding me?
God damn it. Yeah, that was...
Then it pisses off his buddy, so he runs out there, like, just shooting up the place. And I was like, all right, here it comes. He's going out in a blaze of glory. And so he just goes out there, and he gets blown up. And so it was kind of heartfelt, too, when... Blaze and Jin parted ways, and he was like, good luck, little sister. And then that was the last time they saw each other. So it was just really emotional at the end, because it was like they were just picking them off one after another. Like every 5 minutes, somebody was dying.
There was no
mercy.
And
you never see that. You never see that in a Star Wars movie.
No. That might be the reason why people don't like it as much, because it was just man, this is what happens in war. This shit happens, man.
Well, and I think there's a divide on that. I think there's some people that loved it more than anything else they've seen in Star Wars.
Me, yes, I'm
like, and I then there are other people that wanted probably they were because of that they didn't like it because
that's
it was,
what I'm thinking,
you know.
Yeah.
So I think it went both ways.
Because even Saving Private Ryan, started off with about the same size crew, but you don't lose them all in the third act.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
You lose one after like 30 minutes, and then 30 minutes later you might lose one. And it sucked. Like, it's sad each time it happens. But it's not back to back to back that they're getting killed off.
Yeah, I think the Doctor, and Saving Private Ryan, the Doctor was the worst. That was the worst for me. And then I think it was the blind faith Jedi. I think for him it was the worst for me.
But apparently, Jin's mom is also a force sensitive.
The main general.
Krennic.
Krennic.
So Krennic, the actor that played Krennic, mm-hmm. thought he did a really good job.
Ben Mendelsohn. Ben Mendelsohn.
He did not disappoint, did he?
Yeah. I mean, he always plays a creep.
No, Donnie Yen is the faith.
He's the one that is force sensitive.
Force sensitive blind. Okay.
They would call it force sensitive. Yeah.
Force sensitive.
Yeah. He's not Jedi, but he's force sensitive. So he is one of the force.
Yeah, because he immediately felt when Jin was nearby, he immediately sensed that she had on a crystal.
Yeah.
So he definitely force sensitive. Now, is force sensitive, but is that someone that could be trained to be a Jedi?
I think so.
Yes.
So he could have been a Jedi.
But had the Jedi Order not been extinguished, and had he been like realized to be force sensitive as a young child,
damn,
the Jedi more than likely would have come and taken him.
He would have been one badass motherfucker.
He would have been bad because he was blind and he was badass without the training.
Jesus, he would have been one.
He was doing all kinds of the shit he was doing, the flips, and
yeah,
he would have. Man, he was really. Darth Vader, Anakin fucked it up for him.
yep.
And his fucking getting involved with and getting in a relationship and
women,
getting a girl pregnant, his jealousy, it fucked it up for him.
Golly.
He should be pissed. It's bad enough that he had to deal with being blind, and he had to deal with this motherfucker messing shit up for him and becoming a Jedi. Oh, just man,
I think I'm feeling depressed right now.
Why?
Because no, they're talking about some sad ending, but it's life. That's fucking good shit.
Yeah, no, it's very groundbreaking.
That's why I like this so much.
And this movie sounded like a war movie. It had the explosions. It had the sound effects. There were times where it felt like a war movie, like a real war movie. And there hasn't been hasn't always been the case in a Star Wars.
So what do you think that planet, the main reason for that planet was a data storage?
The beach one, yeah.
Yeah, remember they were going through all the different call signs for these projects? All those mean something, and I bet you a lot of those.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was like listening to them. I was like, I forgot them all, but I got to go watch it again because I wanted some of the call signs they're calling out. I think harken to some stuff in EU that happened in the past. So it was like Jesus. I mean, imagine all the files they had there, all the stuff they had there.
I'll have to listen again when I go. I'm going again on Christmas Day.
Were you surprised? Were you surprised that they gave Gareth Edwards such a big task of directing a Star Wars film based on the fact he's got such a short list of his resume at this point? I mean, he's done some stuff, but I mean, he's done some documentaries. You have the Godzilla movie in 2014, you know, visual effects on a movie in 2010.
Well, he only got Godzilla because he directed an indie film called Monsters, which was really good for being an independent film. And then him doing that basically made Disney satisfied enough to where, oh, he can do a military movie. He can do something with soldiers and creatures, big scale, things like that. I think Gareth Edwards' one problem is, and he did the same thing in Godzilla, he keeps all of his eggs in the basket until the end. Because he did the same thing with Godzilla. He didn't really show Godzilla that much. He didn't really show a lot of fighting. Outside of the little sequence on Jeddah, a lot of action. Until the end, and then all of a sudden it was like, pow! Nonstop.
Yeah. I felt like I had to wait through that whole damn movie. You know, Godzilla, it wasn't like necessarily a complete dud, but it wasn't over the top, like received well either. I mean,
I enjoyed that one.
Did you like the 2014 Godzilla? What about Johnny? What do you think? Was it a good movie?
Godzilla.
I liked it. I mean, it was well received enough to earn it not only a sequel, but a crossover sequel as well with Kong. So basically, we're going to get Kong Skull Island, then we're going to get Godzilla 2, then we're going to get a Godzilla versus Kong.
Boom.
Wow.
Godzilla.
That's going to be some good shit. That sounds like some good shit.
Good info, Johnny.
First quarter of the year, what are you looking for the most after now that Rogue One's already passed?
Oh, goodness. I know January has some releases, so the movie I saw the premiere of at Fantastic Fest, M. Night's new movie, Split.
Yeah, he says it's going to be really, it's actually really good.
Really?
It's going to bring back,
It's really good. I think it's M. Night's resurgence. I'm actually really looking forward to going back and rewatching it just to kind of analyze it a little better. Like, literally, I wanted to watch it again, like, the next day. Mm-hmm. And when I realized I couldn't for, like, 5 months, I was really bummed. But
yeah, that's the only bad thing about Fantastic Fest. If you see something you really like and it's not coming out right away, you have to wait.
It was, like, today, too. Like, it's A Monster Calls with Felicity Jones and Sigourney Weaver and Liam Neeson.
Yeah, another Felicity Jones.
That one's coming out here in the next week or two.
She's been busy. Felicity Jones has been busy.
Oh, yeah. She's killing it.
She just did that Tom Hanks movie. She was with a movie with Tom Hanks a few months ago.
Damn.
Yeah.
As well.
So I've been wanting to see that one again ever since I saw it at Fantastic Fest. So a lot of mine are wanting to, like, rewatches.
Yeah.
Outside of the big stuff, like Justice League and Wonder Woman and things like that.
Yeah, obviously Wonder Woman is one for me. John Wick, the sequel to John Wick.
John Wick 2 comes out in February.
That's the one I've got marked on the calendar.
So Wonder Woman.
New trailer for that just came out. and then also the new trailer dropped for Blade Runner 2049.
Boom! Yeah. So we won't get that until October, I believe.
Wow.
October, yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. But that'll get here quick.
A good teaser trailer.
It looked really good. Yeah. Hey, Johnny, thank you, and happy holidays to you.
Yeah, sure. All right, y'all
see you, Johnny.
Blade Runner 2049 is coming out in October. Official trailer. So you've seen this, right?
Yeah, when you sent it to me, yeah, I saw it.
Okay, check this out.
God damn it.
It's exciting.
Listen. Listen to the music.
Mm-hmm.
Replicants are like any other machine. They're either a benefit or a hazard. If they're a benefit, it's not my problem.
Ridley Scott, executive producer. This is fun. He's walking up to, like, this wreckage.
Man, that sound effect is awesome.
The sound effects are great. I'll say that. I don't know if the movie's going to be any good, but it's going to have good sound. Good sound effects. So there's Ryan Gosling. He walks into this, like, abandoned, looks like an old bank. Mm-hmm. And then he says, "Hey, girl. It's it's Ryan. Look at me in my T-shirt."
I was good at it.
Fucking Han Solo.
Things were simpler then.
October 6, 2017. Mark that on your calendar. So the story, you know, the story on this, on the sequel.
Well, I know the there was. I'm gonna talk a little bit about the past and a little bit about what's going on.
Yeah.
Okay. So when the writer who wrote the book, I don't know who he wrote the book, right? And they brought him in to a theater and they sat him down and they wanted to get his approval, right? Mm-hmm. So they built the whole cityscape, right? So they had about 5 or 10 minutes of film as they wanted to show him. And so he was sitting in front, they were sitting behind him, and they were nervous. They weren't sure how he would take it. After he watched what they showed in the cityscape and everything, the special effects, the flames and all that stuff, it ended, and he sat there for a while, and no response.
This is for the original.
This is the original.
To get the original made. Yeah.
And they were nervous. He waited for a couple of seconds, for them probably seemed forever. He turns around, looks at him, and goes, "How did you guys do that?" And they were like, "Oh, he loves it. Oh, well, we just read your book." And, you know, so that's where it came from. And, uh-huh. and so he was really impressed.
They wowed him. They had a nice presentation.
Yeah, they wowed him. And he's like, "I love it. Keep going." And so
it was easier than when Walt Disney was trying to sell the writer of Mary Poppins into making that into a movie. It took, he had to stalk her for years.
And so when I worked at I Love Video, the manager there told me that Decker is a replicant, And I was like, what? So I went to go watch it again,
mm-hmm.
and I realized, holy fuck, she's right.
We were talking about this one day. I remember this.
Okay, yeah. So the clues are, we got to watch it again, but the clues are basically six replicants got away, one guy fried the fence.
Yeah.
That's Decker. They reprogrammed it to hunt down. It takes a replicant to catch a replicant, right?
Yeah.
And so when you look at all the humans that are on the planet, on Earth, because they have colonies, you hear that one, go off world, a new world. And so there's colonies, Earth has colonies out there. And that's why the main Rutger Howard, right, the main bad guy, the robot, he says, I've seen capital ships on fire off the shoulder of Orion. That's out in space. That's quite a ways from Earth. So only the humans that were healthy left Earth. And every human that was behind was either old, crippled, fat, drunks, or smoked cigarettes, whatever it was. All the humans had frailties, but the replicants didn't. They were perfect. They were in good shape. You know what I'm saying? So that was the clue right there. And Decker, I don't think Decker knew, he realized he was a replicant. And then when you see him in this new trailer, he has to be a replicant. Unless they change that, he's a replicant.
In the original,
he's a replicant.
The clues are there.
Yeah, the clues are there. That it never establishes it. All those clues. He didn't have a cane like Edward James Olmos.
Yeah.
He didn't smoke like, I forget who was smoking, or drink. Right. He did drink. That's right. He did drink.
Well, then.
But he didn't have the frailties that the other humans had.
Yeah.
And so they're all this old and in bad shape and everything, but he wasn't. He was in good shape.
Interesting.
So that's what shows me that he's a replicant. And I think I'm sure Ridley Scott said, no, Decker's a replicant. I think he actually said that too. I have to go back and listen to it again.
Oh, wow. What took him so long to make a sequel to Blade Runner?
Oh, I have no idea.
It took him years, decades.
Yeah.
That's something I'd like to know the backstory.
I'd like to know who the writer is, because the writer is when they wanted to get approval first, and he said, go ahead, this is great.
Breaking news up in this place.
Years after the events of the first film on New Blade Runner, so it's in more or less real time, I guess, LAPD officer Ryan Gosling unearths they're calling him Officer K. Ryan Gosling unearths a long buried secret that has the potential to plunge what's left of society into chaos. K's discovery leads him on a quest to find Deckard, a former LAPD Blade Runner who has been missing for 30 years. So, and then, of course, do you think that's sort of given? They gave it too much away in the trailer, because you show him finding him.
But synapses of the plot, they have to give that out, so it kind of spoils it.
It does tease. It's a good tease.
It's a good teaser, yeah.
Yeah, I hope they don't give too much away in the trailers.
That's why stay away from the Star Wars trailers.
Well, that's what happens when you do a podcast. You end up you're trying to dig for more information so you can have more things to talk about. So I can ruin it for y'all, because I'm not happy just ruining it for myself. I got to ruin it for everyone else too, and Reed and whoever else comes on the podcast.
Well, yeah, it's fun talking about this kind
of
stuff.
It is fun. So this is development of a sequel. Blade Runner first began in 1999.
Wow.
This was the development for the sequel. It was Stuart Hazeldine had written a sequel to the film based on The Edge of Human, titled Blade Runner Down. However, the project was shelved due to issues concerning the rights of the novel. Some politics. We talked about politics before getting in the way of stuff. Ridley Scott considered developing a sequel, tentatively titled Metropolis, and again announced his interest in developing the project while attending the San Diego Comic-Con. Eagle Eye co-writer Travis Wright wrote with producer Bud Yorkin for several years on the project. You know, I like this because they took their time. They didn't want to fuck it up and just rush some bullshit out. So his colleague John Glenn, who left the project by 2008, stated the script would explore the nature of the old world colonies as well as what happens to Tyrell Corporation in the wake of its founder's death.
Okay, you know, Tyrell, The character, the one with the glasses?
Mr. Robot?
Yeah. No, not that different one. Yeah, different
Tyrell. Okay, I was getting confused.
But, you know, Tyrell, the one with the glasses, he's a replicant. And then his real body is in some container somewhere kept alive. They cut that part out of the movie.
In June 2000, well, there was like 8 different cuts of the movie. There was politics in the original release.
See, that's one. Like, remember Chaos on the Bridge?
Yeah.
When William Shatner interviewed all the whole cast of The Next Generation.
And all the bullshit was going on.
Yes. This is one where you wanted, like, what the hell?
There's another where...
See, the politics of making a film and all the backstabbing and dick sucking is going on and all that shit... That is way more interesting than the fucking movie.
Dick slapping,
yes.
Ass kissing. Ass is getting kicked.
Exactly. So that's a whole movie in itself.
Yeah.
A documentary in that would be just as interesting as a fucking movie.
It'd be an X-rated movie. But yeah, it was announced on August 18, 2011 that Scott was to be at the helm of the newest installment. I want to be at the helm of something. I don't know if I've ever been the helm.
You got a lawnmower?
Yeah.
There you go.
Can be at the helm of my lawnmower? With filming to begin no earlier than 2013, indications from producer Andrew Costco, like Costco, the store, I think it means he buys everything in bulk, were that Ford was unlikely to be involved in the project.
Wow.
Oh, Scott later said that after Harrison Ford had 3 more flops, he said, I want to do it. No, I made that part. Scott later said that the film was liable to be a sequel, but without the previous cast, and that he was close to finding a writer that might be able to help deliver.
See, at least it's not a fucking reimagining or a fucking...
Remake.
Yeah, bullshit.
It's connected to the old one, which is good. Leave it that way. And Harrison Ford's got to be in this movie somewhat, because he's the second name on the credits. So it's not going to be like Force Awakens where Mark Hamill only shows up in the last minute. I mean, where they only they find him finally at the end of the movie, and then it's part two. You'll see him, and he'll be back in part two. Sorry. Got to come back and see the other movie. So anyway, yeah. Scott informed the Variety publication in 2014 that he was no longer the director for the film. Yeah, he's not directing it. He's executive producer. But he would likely only fulfill a producer's role. Scott also revealed that filming would begin sometime in late 2014. So the studio must have said, "You're getting old. You've lost it."
No. A producer's position is actually pretty powerful.
It is, yeah. Because you decide everything. Yeah.
The producer is like the president, and the director is like the general.
Yeah, the producer's got more power in a way than the director.
Yes. Yeah.
The producer can fire the director if he wants.
Yeah. He's got to trust the director, too.
Yeah, he's got to trust the director. He picks who he wants to direct it.
Right.
He's also hiring the actors.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's overall... That's what I'm saying. I think that really Scott, since this was his... He directed the first one, right?
He had his veto power as a producer.
Yeah. So now he has a lot more power now than his director. That's probably a better move. Because imagine this.
Mm-hmm.
You make a film. You're a director. You do a great job, right? Mm-hmm. You come around 30 years later and do it again. Are you going to direct... Now you've been in business for like 40 plus years. You realize, you know what? I want to be the producer to make sure it's done fucking right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you become. I think that's a smarter move for Scott, to be in the president position, making the final decisions. And this
let the young guy do the physical heavy lifting, running around on sets and having to get up early ass in the morning. And
I'll just watch the dailies and be like, yeah, that's good enough. You know, yeah, do
that's good. Can we? We might keep that same, but I might cut this.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And the director has to, you know, do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Principal photography began in July of 2016. And as of September 2016, has been filming in Budapest, Hungary. On August 25th, 2016, a construction worker was killed while dismantling one of the film's sets at Orgo Studios.
That's in Prague.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Warner Brothers revealed in early October 2016 that the film would be titled Blade Runner 2049. So if somebody was killed, there's going to be maybe a lawsuit on that. I don't hear about this. Man, there's like been a jinx on Harrison Ford movies. Because in Force Awakens, he almost died. And then he got in the plane and he almost died again. Well, you know about the plane crash. He was flying his plane and he crashed in the park.
Stay on the ground, man.
Stay on the ground. And then... He's filming this movie, and some construction worker gets killed.
It's probably a local teamster from Prague.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
Yeah, that's a poor guy. As part of an agreement between IMAX Corporation and Warner Brothers, Blade Runner 2049 is set for release in IMAX theaters. I wonder if they're filming it in IMAX with the IMAX cameras.
Nice.
You would hope they would. I gotta go see this at IMAX. This is one.
Well, I thought about going seeing Rogue One in IMAX.
I'm kind of like, I like to see the first time around on standard.
Yeah.
We were talking about this because you said 3D. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So, the difference, I think it was I forget the girl's name on Jedi Council.
Yeah.
She had mentioned that they're filming Star Wars 8 on 65mm at a certain frame rate.
Right now.
I think it was like 60 or 120 frames. I forget what the magic number is, whatever it is. But basically, it looks like you're watching NBC. Remember, like Lord of the Rings?
Yes.
Like you're watching NBC. It's so bright, so colorful, it's so sharp, you know, that kind of thing. Well, when you watch it in 3D on 35mm, it's darker, right?
Yeah.
And so when you watch it on this bigger frame and with more speed, more frames per second, basically, right? It's brighter. And so you get to see it. So if you see it 3D, it's not dark. And that's the reason why I didn't want to go see this. It's like
an Instagram filter. For movies.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Where you go pick, do I want chrome? Do I want...
Yeah. And do I want the 3D where it's darker? No, that's the reason why I didn't want to go that way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'd rather watch it in 2D when you get familiar with, you start learning those kind of things.
Yeah, you start saying,
that's like nerd camera talk stuff.
Well, same thing with TV. You got 4K, you got HD, you got...
4K is ridiculous.
LCD.
Dude. You can't, your eye can't tell 4K from fucking 1K or 2K. You can't tell. But once you get that 1080p, that's pretty damn sharp. You know, when you get the 4K, it looks great.
What about the new TVs with no borders where they're just edgeless? Do you like this? Do you like that? Have you seen a TV like this? Have you gone to Best Buy and checked out an edgeless TV?
I can't do that, man. It's too much money.
Well, yeah.
I got to spend my money on comic books. I can't spend my money.
you still got the TV with the rabbit ears and the foil. Do you remember, when I was a kid, for years, we didn't have cable. So I only got to watch cable when I went to my friend's house. I love going to
the rich kids.
Yeah, or the poor kids that didn't budget their money well, and they spent it all on cable, and they lived in a trailer.
Dogs under your house.
But I'd like to go to friend's house and watch. I'd spend the night or whatever, and go watch cable at their house, and we'd eat TV dinners because they'd spend all their money on cable.
You know how it's like living in a trailer. Like my cats be outside.
Yeah.
And they would find a way under the trailer, through the vent.
Yeah.
And you know, trailers have vents in the floor.
Yeah. Because you live in a trailer park.
And the cats would come up to the vents. They go, hey, kitty. And the cat would come. And you just take over the vent and you let the cat in. And that's it. That's how the cat gets into the house. Yeah. True story, dude. So, that's what it's like living in a trailer.
So
you throw the cat out the front door. 30 minutes later, the cat's coming through your vent in your room.
So Reed lives in a trailer park.
No, not anymore.
But he had his trailer moved out, and he built a house on the spot. Yes. So he's the only house in a trailer park, right?
Yes, exactly.
You built a house.
In Sunnyvale, yes. Yeah,
he hit the big time. And so he said, but I like my land. I want to stay on my land.
Trailer park girls are pretty hot.
And trailer park girls are easy. And they're kind of hot. They wear
trashy.
They don't wear a lot of clothes in the summer. They mm-hmm. And they're easy.
Right. Trailer park girls are cool.
And they're a cheap date.
Yes.
So he said, I want to
stay. Hot dogs.
He says, I found paradise, but I was going to build a new house.
I want to be the kingpin
of the trailer
of
park.
My Sunnyvale.
So he built his own castle in the middle of the trailer park in Sunnyvale.
So all I did really was just grab two other trailers and put them together and have a triple wide now.
It's like Transformers for trailers. Yeah. You just
keep adding them on.
Keep adding on trailers. So when we want to add more room, houses, or more rooms.
You slap another trailer.
Slap another trailer in and build.
Get the two back doors to match each other and then boom.
Boom. He's got a weird weird shaped maze. Yeah.
Kind of a maze house kind of thing.
And so if he has parties, he blindfolds people and say, okay, try to find your way to the end of it.
And if you're not on in 5 minutes, you're here forever.
Yeah, I send you down that hole where the cats come in from. Yeah, there, boy. All right, so we'll come back. We're not going to do it agree or disagree today because I've been too busy Christmas shopping and watching Star Wars that I didn't plan an agree or disagree today. But we'll do a thoughts and advice. We're going to close it out with that. So we'll be right back.
Uh-oh,
indeed.
What's gonna get a sequel next? What's gonna get a prequel next? And what's gonna get a reboot next? Sequel, prequel, reboot time. A reboot time.
We're back. So the cat story was not made up. Reed told
no,
me.
No, it's real.
It's a real story.
It's a real story.
This is a real thing.
You hear a cat meowing, and it's like, where's it coming from? It sounds kind of echoey. And you look at the vent, and it's coming out of the vent, and you open the vent.
So you've actually done this.
Yeah.
And you
cats coming out. Cats.
The neighbor's cats aren't getting in
no,
there.
No, those are our cats we threw outside.
They're always your cats.
They're always our cats. And then they basically, the underside of a trailer, the insulation is just torn away.
And they're not afraid of snakes. They kill snakes.
Oh, we had one cat named Loco, who's a Siamese cat. He would bring us snakes.
He was the cartel of the snake community, of the cat community.
Yes, he would bring in snakes.
He'd bring you snakes.
Look what I got. And he fucking would drop the snake in front of us.
Yeah, because cats can make a snake their bitch.
Cats are like little tigers, dude.
Yeah, they are. Like, because they got the claws, they got the teeth, yeah. They're kind of little mini.
They're mini little tigers.
They're mini little tigers of the neighborhood, yeah. Of the hood.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a little bit more fierce than people give them credit for.
Yeah.
And it's a true story. That's how you get your cats, is they're through the vent.
They come to the vent in your
house. Through the vent. Oh, man. Is there a name for that? Pulling the cats out of. Speaking
of life, son.
Speaking of life, we want to wish everyone a happy life day as it's coming up.
Happy life day.
In a few days. And this is for Reed.
Oh, God.
And then our thoughts and advice today. Man. This is for Reed.
Stupid Chewbacca. Oh, God. You got to translate? Oh, my God. Got some serious phlegm there.
Also from Chewbacca.
What the hell is this?
That's Chewbacca on auto-tune.
Is that what it is?
It sounds like he's gargling.
Yeah.
Just make his breath cleaner. It's already bad enough.
Dog hair.
Got a hairball in my mouth. Hairball in my mouth. I'm Peter Mayhew, under all this fur, and I won't sign your autograph unless you've got some big boobies.
Yep, exactly.
Won't talk to you.
Won't talk to you
unless you've got some boobies.
Some boobies.
Move aside, nerd. I want to talk to the girl behind you. I do every convention I can get my ass in because I want some money.
So you can buy a new pimp cane.
And there, yes, I get a new pimp cane. I'm getting too old to work, so I got to do these conventions.
Yeah, poor guy.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Furry Chewbacca are there any more? I think there's another one.
Oh, God. These should be banned. These should be taken. I'm going to...
There's a plethora of these.
I'm going to go to YouTube and make... these are all copyright. Your relatives
that perfect have them pulled down.
Have them pulled down for copyright infringement. Well, this holiday season, we have something to offer. Chewbacca Christmas caroling. We'll touch the audience every day. What was that song you put up too where the guy's like singing? Just donate money to us.
Oh, yeah, that's the Christmas album, Star Wars Christmas.
That was pretty funny. He's like, I will be dead anyway, so this, yeah. Such as Silent Night. Oh, that's him doing it.
Oh, he could have put a costume on. He's not even dressed up like Chewbacca. He does a good Chewbacca voice, though.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. You got 248,000 views doing this.
How many dislikes?
He got 615 likes, but 407 dislikes. So very divided. All right, everyone have a great life day. Or what other holiday you celebrate? Hanukkah,
Death Day.
Kwanzaa, Death Day, Death
to Wookiees.
Death to Wookiee's Day, or Death to Chewbacca Day.
Yeah.
You're wanting the Death Star to hit the Wookiee planet?
Yeah, that'd be nothing but fur floating in space.
That's the movie you want to see. It's where they get the Death Star aimed at Chewbacca's planet.
Remember, last time I told you there was three different languages on that planet.
Yeah, this is that's fucking. What are the three languages there?
I don't know. I know there's three.
Chewbacca one, Chewbacca language one, Chewbacca language two, and Chewbacca language three.
Different dialects.
Whatever holiday it is, a robot day, cheese, seven layer dip day, or whatever it is. Have a good one, and we'll talk to you soon after the after that holiday that you celebrate. We'll talk to you then.
Peace out, bitches.
Yeah. Thunderpop was a Hit the Bricks production.